All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 13 as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the book of Acts. We find ourselves in verses 42 to 47 as we continue to go through the Word of God chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and book by book. It's no better way of going through God's Word. And Father, thank you so much that you have blessed us to be here this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit will come and brood over us, oh God. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to us today. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you will speak into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 13, looking at verses 42 to 47. The title of this message is Cravings. Cravings. Now, cravings can be described as a powerful desire for something. Most people have cravings for certain foods, especially you ladies when you're expecting. You have these weird cravings. Others like me have cravings for sweets and desserts. I always have that craving. Always. And finally, there are those who crave attention, prestige, or power. However, the real question for us today to ponder is, do you crave the Word of God, the Bible? In these verses, we will see what happens when our cravings for the Word of God is at an all-time high. Now, by way of background, Paul is still giving a sermon to the people in the synagogue of the city of Antioch of Pisidia. The purpose of this history lesson was to ultimately point these people to Jesus Christ. He brought up their greatest king, David, in verse 36, and how he was a great king and served his generation by the will of God. However, he died and was buried. But he showed them that Jesus came on the scene, and it was through him and his death on the cross and resurrection that we have forgiveness of our sins. However, he didn't stay dead. God raised him from the dead, according to verse 34. Then Paul gives them, in verse 41, a warning from the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, in chapter 1, verse 5, that there are consequences if we reject the message of Jesus Christ. So what happened when the people heard this powerful message from Paul? Look what it says there in verse 42. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So as the service was over and they were leaving, the Gentiles, who were the non-Jews, they begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. The Greek word for begged is parakaleo. And it means to come alongside, to entreat, to exhort, or to console. The tense of this Greek word, it means that they came to Paul and they kept begging him to preach these words to them over and over on the next Sabbath. And this is the power of the teaching of the Word of God. Once it is taught correctly, it creates a desire for more of the word. Oh, I'm reminded of what Peter said in 1 Peter 2:2. He confirms this truth. It says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The Greek word for desire is epipatheo, and it means an intense craving, a yearning or desire. The ideas of a newborn babe, or the Greek word for newborn, means a just now born baby craves, desires or yearns for the milk from his mother. And that little baby will cry and kick and scream until he or she gets it. And the question we have to ponder in our hearts, do you crave or desire or yearn for the pure milk of the Word of God this way? And do you kick and scream and yell until you get it? This is how I was when I first got exposed to the verse-by-verse teaching of God's Word through Calvary Chapels. I was listening to the Christian radio station called K-Wave in California. And once I got exposed to this style of teaching through the Bible, it created in me, just like these people, a desire for more and more of the Word. I was begging for more. I couldn't wait until I got in my car again the next day to hear more. I wanted more and more. And as I listened, like these Gentiles, it created a desire for more, like it says there in verse 42. I'm reminded of what Job 23:12 says. It's not on the screen for you note takers. He says, I desire God's word more than my necessary food. Job was saying that I rather feast upon God's word more, notice, more than my necessary food, meaning the food that I need to sustain myself, the fruits and vegetables and nuts and the things that's necessary for my body. He said, I desire God's word more than my necessary food. Is that the cry of your heart today? Do you desire God's word? Do you crave it to the point where you're going to kick and scream until you get it? Do you crave and desire the word of God like Job did, like Peter said, like a newborn baby desires, yearns for the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby? Well, what happens is too often we're pigging out on the junk food of this world, on its music, on its entertainment, on its movies, and it's robbing us of our desire for the pure milk of the word. We have no appetite for it because we're too full over the things of God. Now one thing that I love, and I know you health food people trip out, that you'll be okay. I love chips. Chips are just, you know, good Dorito, good chip. I just love chips. Now I can sit down and I have to force myself to stop eating the bag or I finish the bag off. Now, if I ate some chips and my wife is preparing dinner, it doesn't matter what she prepares. I won't have a desire for that good meal she prepared because I'm pigging out on chips. And many of you are pigging out on the chips of this world. And wonder why you have no appetite for the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. I cannot grow physically on chips. Oh, I can't grow around my waistline physically from chips, but no kid can grow up just eating chips and think he can just grow into a healthy person. But that's how we look spiritually, malnourished, stunted growth, because we're pigging out on the junk food of this world. And we wonder why we have no craving, no desire, no intense yearning for the word of God. And when we think about reading the Bible, oh. And we wonder why we have no appetite for it. And this is the reason why. Look what he says there in verse 43. It says, now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. So as the congregation was breaking up, there were some Jews and devout proselytes that devout proselytes were those non-Jews who had embraced Judaism and even perhaps submitted to being circumcised. They wanted to continue the conversation with Paul and Barnabas. However, they encouraged them to continue in the grace of God. There's something I want to bring to your attention. It is one thing to be saved by the grace of God in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of yourself, that any man should boast. But we need God's grace to continue in the faith as well. 2 Peter 3:18, it's not on the screen for you note takers. It said, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So yes, we need grace that saves us, but we need grace to continue in that salvation. And he tells them, Paul and Barnabas told the new believers, even in the city of Antioch of Syria, where they came from, which is different from Antioch of Pisidia, where they just left. Antioch of Syria, he told them in Acts 11, verse 23, they encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. The 3,000 souls that were saved in Acts 2:41, it says in Acts 2:42, the very next verse, that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. The way that you know that your salvation is genuine, oh, please don't miss this. The way that you know your salvation is genuine is that you will continue in the faith and you will have an intense craving for the word of God. Or as Acts 2:42 says, you know that your salvation experience is genuine because you will continue steadfastly in God's word, in fellowship, or come to church, the breaking of bread, celebrating communion together, and prayer. Oh, I have to ask you, does this describe your salvation experience? Are you continuing in the faith? Do you have an intense craving for God's word? And are you a person of prayer? These are the marks of a true Christian. So they encourage them to continue in the grace of God. What happened next? Look at verse 44. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Oh, how I long to see this happen in our city. That you would be so excited for the word of God being taught that you go out and tell as many people as you can to come hear the teaching of the word of God. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book by book, from Genesis to Revelation. So the whole city would be coming out to hear God's word taught. Oh, how I long to see that happen. Oh, this is the philosophy of Calvary Chapels. Healthy sheep reproduce. And the natural byproduct of healthy sheep is evangelism. You will go out and tell others about Jesus Christ and the church feeding you God's word. For example, a shepherd doesn't have to tell the sheep. Now you sheep, reproduce. Right now. He doesn't have to tell the sheep to reproduce. They naturally do it when they are healthy. When they are properly fed, the byproduct of healthy sheep, they will naturally reproduce. And this is what happened in the early days of Calvary Chapels and what happened in this verse. They went out and talked about the teaching of Paul, and the whole city came out the following week. Oh, I long to see that happen, not only here in Newport News, but in cities across this country, that people will come out and hear the teaching of the word of God. Simply, there's another saying in Calvary Chapel, simply teach the word simply. And that's what we seek to do. We're not going to be up here trying to impress you with theatrics and we're going to just let the word of God feed you. See, you need to be fed the word because you're sheep. You're God's sheep. Sheep needs to be fed. Feed you the word of God, all that God says. And what happens is because the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, it says that he should be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, speaking of Jesus. And he's a wonderful counselor. And what happens is that the word of God is going forth. He's counseling you through the word of all kind of issues and problems and situations that you have. We leave you in God's hands. We don't want you codependent on us. We ain't nothing for you. What we got for you? We ain't nothing for you. We just give you this word and leave you in God's hands. That's what they're doing here. Told them, continue in the grace of God. Continue with the Lord. Said, don't look to us. And I'm going to tell you now, don't look to us. We're just giving you this word. We're teaching you how to depend on God and look to him for your help, because some of the mess and twisted up mess y'all done got yourselves in, we can't help you. Man can't help. There's not a man on the face of the earth that can untwine that web you done spun. We can't help you. Only God can. And so this is why we're teaching you about the love of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the mercy of God, teaching you God's word, feeding you God's word so you can look to him. Because we have absolutely nothing for you. Nothing. Can you help me, Pastor Tony? No, no. God can. I can't help you. I'm not ashamed to say that. Aren't you supposed to be the one who have the answers? No. I didn't make this book. This is where your answers are. And I'm so set free. You know that? I'm so set free. Oh, you know. What's wrong with you? Oh, I got some real issues to deal with these people. No, I don't. You're God's people. Leave you in God's hands. Amen. That's why I teach you what God's word has to say, so you can look to him. Oh, that's the greatest thing any pastor can ever do, to teach you to look past him and look to the cross. Look to him. Look at verses 45 to 47. It says, but when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming, and they opposed the things spoken by Paul. And then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, the conjunction but that starts verse 45 means that this verse is in direct contrast to verse 44. In verse 44, everyone was excited and wanted to hear the word of God, but when the Jews, which is a reference to the rulers of the synagogue, saw the multitude, almost the whole city came out. Surely they were happy, right? Surely they had to have been. No. They were filled with envy, and they started contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Instead of being happy about, I mean, who wouldn't be happy about seeing the entire city turning to God? They saw that they were no longer in control of the religious affairs of the city. Now Paul and Barnabas was. So they turned Paul's teaching into a public debate, and they started contradicting. That Greek word contradicting is antilego, and it indicates that they were continually speaking against Paul's message, attempting to refute him. They were not content with a heated debate with Paul and Barnabas. They were also blaspheming by speaking against Jesus Christ. Well, let me pause here to point out the classic signs of jealousy and envy. It can happen with family members and especially with people on the job. When you're jealous or envious of someone who's being promoted over you or being shown favor, the first sign of your jealousy is that you will start to contradict what that person is saying or has said. The second sign is you will start to speak nasty, blasphemous things about that person. It is one thing to try to speak against what someone said, but it is another to start speaking nasty words against that person, attacking their character, posting ugly things about them on social media. If you're doing this, you're a classic hater is what you are. A classic hater. And you're sipping on haterade is what you're doing. Jealous, envious, and you're no different than these religious leaders. As soon as they saw the entire city coming out to hear what Paul and Barnabas had to say, they start hating because they were the religious instructors of the people in the city of Antioch of Pisidia. And now everybody's coming out to hear Paul and Barnabas. So they started contradicting. And why didn't they do that in the synagogue when they were all inside? It was cool. As long as we're in here, yo, cool. Okay, yeah, good job, good job. Then when the people start gathering around Paul and Barnabas, they're like, oh, what's going on here? And they pulled out a nice six pack of Haterade and started downing them one by one and started contradicting and blaspheming what was being said. And that can happen to any of us. Any of us, when we allow jealousy and envy to creep in our lives. And you see it all the time on social media. People posting all kind of ugly things, blasphemous things about people. You know what kills me more than anything else? I'm amazed on how so many people, or put it this way, the majority of people in the world know how to pastor a church better than a pastor. This is how you should do it. This is what you should have said. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have gone there. What do you do for a job? Well, I'm an electrician. Then go be an electrician. Leave pastoring to us. If we're off base, God's going to deal with us. I think God's big enough to deal with us. But people are nasty today. And social media is just, it's just bringing out what's always been in there and giving people a platform. People are nasty. So if you are a hater and you have jealousy and envy, it'll come out. Just the right situation hasn't approached you yet. But when it does, it'll come right out and you'll just start speaking blasphemous things and contradicting. Well, you know, they said that this is the best way to do it. But, you know, in my years of experience, I think this is the best. See, you start speaking against what that person has said. You hate Nona. Stop. Stop. Repent of that nasty attitude because you'd be no different than them. However, Paul and Barnabas didn't just sit back and take what they were saying. I'm glad. Verse 46 said that they grew bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, which is a reference to the Jewish people as a whole. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. They were the ones in verse 42 that came out of the synagogue and begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. They said, okay, y'all don't want to hear this good old everlasting life. Okay, you heard it. Now you rejected it. Okay, you don't want to hear it. That's fine. We're going to turn to somebody who wants to hear it. And this is a classic thing. If someone rejects the message you're trying to share with them about Jesus Christ and the gospel, don't get in your feelings and then they just reject it. Like they rejected you. No, they didn't reject you. They rejected the message. Just go. God has somebody else who wants to hear it. That's waiting. They're begging for someone to tell them how to have everlasting life. So don't get in your feelings when people come against you like they did. You just go to the next person. See, when a person hears the gospel message and rejects it, it shows that they are unworthy of everlasting life. I pray that this isn't anyone in here today. That you hear the word of God and you're rejecting it. I pray that that's not anyone here today. So what happened next? Well, you got to wait until next week before we jump into a whole nother section because we got to finish up that chapter. Now, let me conclude with this. And the reaction of us ending for some in here, I'm going to point that out. Watch this. See, when a person hears the gospel message and rejects it, this is why the Bible says man will be without excuse when he stands before God. He can't say, I never heard, you know, nobody ever told me. Now, yes, they did. they told you and you rejected it. See, and this is key here. So as you sit here today and listen to the pure milk of the Word of God, did it create a desire, craving for more of the Word of God? Are you about to kick and scream and yell because we had to stop? Some of you, that's how you are. Every time we stop, you're like, oh man, what you, man, I just want some more of that. There's some more of that good teaching. Some of you are like, I couldn't wait until you stopped. Well, see, that's who I'm talking to. I'm talking to you. So, see, if this is you, you could not wait until, I mean, you know, you can't wait until next week until we pick this thing back up. I will encourage you to continue in the grace of God and the Word of God by meditating on a day and night. It's just going to create more of a desire for that Word. Keep it going. Keep feeding it. Keep feeding that craving, that desire for more of the Word of God. It's just like when a newborn baby, you feed the babies, you know, their belly all full and, you know, you take them a little nap. They wake up, they want some more. And that's how some of you are. You get that Word and you're like, oh man, you're rubbing your belly going out the door and you want some more. So, but there are some of you here and you have no desire for the Word of God, no craving. You're like, I couldn't wait for you to stop. I guarantee you, you've been pigging out on the junk food of this world, being satisfied with the chips of this world. And you come in here and wonder why you have no appetite for the Word of God. I always want to leave you with some hope. I'm going to leave you hope in the midst of a warning. Jesus says something very amazing in Luke 21 and verses 34 to 36. He said, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing. That's a word that means partying, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. And that day, speaking of the second coming of Jesus, come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare or trap on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. And here it is, verse 36. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all of these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. You can pray today that Jesus will come into your life and make you worthy to stand before him on that day and be innocent. But if you reject what's being said, then you will stand before him and be guilty and spend eternity separated from him in hell itself. I was just reading a book this morning. And the pastor was talking about, he says that every time a pastor talks about hell, that he should have tears in his eyes. It was a story that was told of a man who was condemned to death. And he had to walk to his death. And there was a chaplain walking next to him reading just these normal words that he would read for someone about to die. And he got to talking about hell and just kind of nonchalantly, oh, well, and you know, you spend eternity in there. And that man who was going to his death, he tapped that chaplain on the shoulder. He said, do you believe what you're reading to me? He said, because if you believe that people will go to such a place that you described as hell, he said, if I believe that, I will walk across England on my hands and knees on broken glass to tell one lost person about that gospel you're talking about here, to keep them from going to such a place as hell. I wonder if we really believe it, that there is such a place, that those who have not repented of their sin will actually go to such a place. Or do we just like, yeah, heaven, hell, whatever, and we just going about our merry way? That man said, if you truly believed it, he said, I will walk on my hands and knees across broken glass, across all of England, to reach one person, to keep one person from going to such a place. I think we believe it here, but it hasn't reached here. Because if we truly believe that there is such a place, we will tell as many people as we can, do you know the Lord? Do you, there be a desperation about us? I remember seeing a picture on social media of a lady pushing her baby in a carriage, pushing her, and she was pushing with one hand on her phone, texting with the other, and the house was on fire. And she didn't even care. Just kept it pushing. And that's how we are many times in the church. We know about hell. We know people go there, but we don't really believe it. And we just, oh, I do, Pastor Tony, I do believe it. Then how many people have you told the gospel to? How many people have you tried to prevent from going there? And I stand up here and I plead every Sunday. Plead with you. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord, you will go there. And that's a heartbreaking thing to know that. And there's going to be some people to pray with you about this so you can search your own heart. If you've never prayed to ask Jesus to come into your heart, if you've never prayed that, there's going to be some people here to pray with you, for you to repent of your sin and ask Jesus to come into your heart. And the way you know it took, you'll have a changed life. You'll have a craving for the Word of God. You will want to come to church and not, oh, maybe I'll go today. You'll have a desire for prayer, to talk to the one who saved you from such a place. That'll be, if that's not your heart, there's going to be some people to pray with you about these things. And I'm just saying that with all the love I can in my heart, I'm pleading with you. The Bible says we're ambassadors of Christ as though God were pleading through us. Be reconciled to God. Get right with Him today. And Father, we pray that, Lord, your Spirit will move in our hearts, that your Spirit will move today. You will draw people unto you. Lord, we pray that you will stir hearts. We pray that you will tug upon hearts. We pray that there will be a full surrender of lives today to you, Lord, and to your kingdom, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.